Would you mind saying the prayer?
I will. You guys join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just praise your name. We just thank you for this fellowship that we're having here today. We just ask that you just give the board members and our faculty staff the wisdom to do your will and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, everyone. All right. Thanks for being here. I'm sorry I was late. All right. So, where do we start?
Good things.
Good things. All right. Thank you.
Football game.
Yep, got a win on Friday night.
Yay. Any other good things?
Had a nice dinner last
night. Yes, we met each other last night. Yeah.
Nice to finally get outside the boardroom as a group.
Yeah.
We missed you, Barry.
Walk at church.
Sunday morning.
That's
a good idea. I like it. He set himself up. I like it. No, that was nice. It was nice for, you know, Marcus met some of the football kids and they prayed for the school district.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Yeah. And Alan and I had 4.5 hours of a training, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. I got to sit in some good trainings with Tasby. Some really good.
Oh, you went the you did the conference as well. Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. All right, it's all good news. Okay, let's move on. Let's see, audience. Participants must have signed up prior to board meeting start time. Participants may address the board on any agenda item. Participation is limited to 3 minutes to make comments to the board unless the participant requires the use of a translator, in which case participation is limited to 6 minutes. The board will only consider complaints that remain unresolved after being addressed through proper administrative channels and when they've been placed on the agenda. Please note the Board of Trustees shall not deliberate, respond, or make decisions regarding the subject that is not included on the agenda that is posted. For further information on these requirements, contact Katie Key, Superintendent Secretary, at 281-689-4441. So we do not have anyone here this evening other than us. Okay, so consent items we have to look at, approval of a new hire.
Yes, we need to hire a dual language pre-K teacher. We hired one at the very beginning of August, awaiting her testing. Unfortunately, the candidate could not pass the test. This is a qualified candidate, just graduated. From Sam, Ms. Gallo, Dr. King speaks very highly of her, and we think she's going to be a great addition to the team, as we currently have a substitute in that pre-K classroom right now. So we need her.
Make a motion to approve the hire of Kelly Gallo as presented.
I'll second the motion.
All right. So we have a motion and a second to approve the hire of Kelly Gallo. All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Thank you. 4-0, motion carries. All right. So we have the agenda review next for our next regular meeting, October 19th.
Okay, so I'll start with number 7, Campus Spotlight. Pardon me. We'll have the meeting at Peach Creek. We were supposed to recognize our FFA program, but they requested to wait until November so they could include the State Fair. State of Texas Fair winners, and also their LDE competitions. So we're going to do that in November, and then we'll highlight Peach Creek Elementary.
Okay. So it's going to be at Peach Creek,
yes.
And we're highlighting Peach Creek.
That's correct.
Okay, great.
All right, so information items. We have John, Mr. DeBrock is going to do his annual DAEP report. Anything, just a little preview of what that might be. What are you going to cover? Oh, is it REACH report? Well, I have DAP report.
I have DAP.
Sorry about that.
Huh.
Okay.
Well.
This is why we have the review. What's that? REACH. So basically, what will you cover in the report?
Our numbers from last year, we ended up with 22 graduates out of the program. We got a few more because of extending until graduation wasn't until July.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably had three or four additional kids who graduated because of that. Currently, we have 30 kids enrolled in the program. As of Friday, they've completed 7 courses. Probably have a few more, or should have a few more by the time the board meeting. Yeah. I'll update by then.
So outside of the number of graduates that they have, is there anything else the board would like to know about our REACH program?
I guess participation numbers.
Participation numbers?
Yeah.
Over
just
like a...
kind of like, same as what we're doing with everything else. Kind of trend.
Okay. And then my only question, and he's probably answered at any point, what does it look like with us being in and out? Mm-hmm. Or are we doing remote or are we doing...
Most of the kids are doing remote right now.
Okay. So it's the same curriculum, same courses.
Yeah, they're still the same program.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, since the group that tends to go to REACH are sometimes the ones that, you know, may not love school as much, you know, how much
yes,
to
ma'am.
Say. Is that
they're
a dip? Is that, has that been an influence mm-hmm. on the number of courses they finish, or do you see anything that, or overall, are they still participating and want to get out and maybe they're motivated? I don't know.
We've got some students who have been there a while.
While
meaning? Being motivated either by maturing and figuring out they need to go. We've got a couple that are court ordered to finish within a year.
Oh.
Certainly that's a strong motivator.
Sure. I would imagine.
And then we have some who have struggled through school for a couple of years, figured out that they'll never graduate regular program, and they're pretty motivated.
Okay. So overall, haven't seen
it's pretty much the same type of group. We probably have more kids that are over age right now. We've got a lot of 17 and 18 year old kids who are still classified as freshmen.
Oh goodness! So because of credits.
Their best hope for graduating is to be in that program.
Wow. So when you say over a period of time, like a long, what is that? Do they enter it as freshmen and they've been in there for 2 years?
Yes, enter as freshmen, and obviously with that many credits that they need, it will take, generally it takes more than a year to get out. Because obviously if they were really motivated, they wouldn't be there.
Right.
But if they worked hard enough, they probably could get out in a year. And we've had one or two that have done that, but for the most part, those are usually a year and a half to 2 year students.
Okay.
So we'll get you all some longitudinal numbers for your period. See what it's look like.
I've got numbers going back to 2009.
Okay, good. Just include that in the report.
Yeah, they're in the report.
Okay,
is that what you were looking for? Or?
Yeah. Just how many students like that we have?
Like over a period of years? Like. To see the growth, if there's more or less
growth, and the breakdown of like how many we have that are freshmen that's 17, 18. You know what I mean? So it's a big deal. Just the numbers.
Okay.
More detail. And what are their criteria? Is there an there's an application? I don't know if you've ever shared that with us or we've ever asked for it. I mean, I don't even know if it matters, but
I can include it if you'd like to look at it.
Maybe so. Just. I mean, no, information doesn't hurt, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, Bill, in all honesty, we have criteria. We have some kids who don't meet it, but realistically, there's nothing to gain by those kids staying in Gregor High School program.
Right. Attendance-wise and things like that, they're just not attending, and they're not.
You're looking at an 18-year-old freshman.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
want him sitting in class with 15-year-olds? Or do you want to take a chance when graduating from Rick?
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
All right. Dr. Barnes, program participation, where are you on that?
Yes, sir. We're going to get those numbers for the different programs at the junior high and the high school. The only ones that are a little difficult to get is just some of the, like, the art club and things like that. They haven't traditionally kept numbers with. But the big programs, athletics, band, all that kind of stuff, will have a 3-year trend for you.
Do we have low socioeconomic demographic on that information on that?
I would probably say not at this time because they'd have to have the student name and they had to go and try to pull it. So I'm not sure how much that they kept track of.
A lot of the questioning behind why or the program numbers is not only simply for the program, but are we reaching the kids that we want to reach? Are we providing equal access to all of our students? So a lot of our questions around fees, I think that's the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the numbers, I mean, that's what I'm really curious to see is not just, you know, I don't like basing all of my decisions on opinion. A lot of times that's all we have to go by, but I'd really like to see some hard data. If we look and there's no low socioeconomic kids and or very few, mm-hmm. then that answers our question.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially talking about the busing and some of the things mm-hmm. for after school, because that's some of the things that we were kind of advocating for and wondering if that affects the participation.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Police report. Ben will be pretty much what, you know, we had a couple of wrecks last week, so he had some significant events, and I guess he's not here because Oklahoma lost again this weekend, so he's probably just
a loser.
Yeah, but we expected to lose. I had no illusions going into that game. Alabama, and you live in Texas.
Wow.
So you know. Anyway, so he'll provide the police report, but are his reports sufficient for what you guys are looking for? Yeah, and we're doing don't forget on Thursday, this does correlate with the police piece. We're doing the badge pinning ceremony for our new officer at the junior high at 2 p.m. So if you want to come, I've not been to one of those before. What's that? Yeah. Okay, so Dr. Gregerson is not here tonight because she went to a wedding in Georgetown, and she is, I guess, I don't want to say recovering, that's not Tammy, I know what I mean, resting. So as far as the curriculum management plan presentations, we do have our bilingual update, which I sent to you guys today about what would be included in that report. So I really don't have a lot of additional information outside of what was sent to y'all. If there's something else that you would like to know about that, just email me or email Dr. Gregerson, and we'll make sure we include that in the report. But I think it was pretty self-explanatory in regards to the information that ZZ provided. Did you guys see that today? Did I send it out to y'all?
No.
Okay. No worries. So it's in your email. It's fine. Okay, update on temporary 9-week plan. So where we are on this, we have sent out the application process. The few emails that I've gotten back from parents are generally from the ones who are already being successful in remote learning and resent the fact that we've asked them to apply to do it. So we've been dealing with that outfall a little bit. I got an email today from a parent that said we were not following TEA guidelines by doing an application process. So I responded to her and said, hey, you know, if that is true, then we'll change course, but let me visit with TEA and make sure. My sense is that when she framed it to TEA, it probably wasn't framed in the right manner. And so we checked her grades, for example, and her kids have IAs. So they're being successful. So it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that our communication is what it's supposed to be. And the whole point of all that is to make sure that we're reaching out to those kids who aren't being successful, right, that aren't engaging. And so I will keep you guys updated when I talk to TEA tomorrow, find out if we have to, because I think we could if we wanted to, because most of the guidance says that we have to provide on-site instruction, which we are doing. And the other alternative is to do what you're seeing some of the other districts do and not offer it at all, and then they have the opportunity to withdraw to another school. And that's not what we want. We want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of our kids, but doing it in a way that they can be successful, and we have the capacity to do that. So I will definitely keep you guys updated on how that looks in our process.
Just to add to that, it lets us easily identify the needs of those students.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we talk about their internet connection, if we can provide something that lets us know up front through the application, a little more clear than everybody.
Yeah, and so here's what I had Lloydette type up, what the process is going to look like. And so the application process, the information that we're getting would be parent contact information, student name, grade level, and campus, asking if they have reliable internet access, high-speed internet, hotspots, if they have devices. Do you have a family access account to check grades and progress? And do you have special circumstances that require remote learning? So we did put in the letter that if there were legitimate health concerns, that obviously those would be considered. Then there will be an application review by a district level committee. So that committee right now will be Lloydette, Susan, Hoisington, and Laura. And then they'll, if there's anything that's sort of iffy, They have a question about an applicant, they'll refer to the campus principal. And they have a rubric that they have developed, and I can send this to you guys as well. And if the application is denied for any reason, the parent can appeal the decision and work with the district to develop a plan for the student to be successful. So there's lots of options. It's just a matter of making sure that, you know, and the ones that were, I guess, are struggling are the ones that would struggle even if they were in school. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of making sure we're doing everything we can do to reach out and make that contact. So it's kind of where we are.
If they answered no to the internet, are we still going to do the hotspots and things? Are we still going to provide those resources?
If they answered no that they don't have reliable, yes. Yeah. I mean, we have enough hotspots.
You don't have problems with those as well, right? Some areas. I mean, that's what.
Yeah, in some areas. I mean, you got to have reliable cell service, you know. But and I know Operation Connectivity is still a priority for the legislature, and that's, I guess, a big talking point as we head into the legislative session. So, I mean, but this is where you really see the inequity highlighted in communities that don't have reliable service, and mm-hmm. it's just part of it. So, and I know you talked to one of your buddies today, and I mean, lots of districts are experiencing very high failure rates. You said y'all are going back to on-site after the break. So,
no choice at this semester.
And, yeah.
What's our rate, failure rate?
It's better than it was a week ago. I don't know off the top of my head what the failure rate is. Do you remember? It was high, I'll just say that.
Yeah,
but some of that was multiple, like one kid would be failing multiple classes. But a lot of that's due to a lot of reasons. One, some of it's our fault for, you know, like with Canvas, if teachers, like, don't make assignments public. And so just figuring some of those things out. So that's kind of why we extended the grace period for some of that. So, but we'll get you those numbers.
It's the 9 week, it ends this week?
Yes. Yeah. So the applications are due on Monday, and then we'll begin contacting people next week. Unless TEA says we can't do an application, then we'll do something else. Anyway.
Has that been 9 weeks? I thought it was just six weeks.
No. This is the end of the 9 weeks. It's Thursday. Band presentation. I mean, it's very similar to what he did last year. He's going to talk about program numbers, resources, needs. I mean, he's pretty communicative with us, so we have a good sense of what he...
Have they been dressing that way in the... for their games, which I'm fine with.
I'm not sure where they were the first day.
They were dressed out like normal.
They didn't have their uniforms on, I'm not sure.
No, I'm fine with it. I just wondered.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
I mean, I didn't know if we were short or anything.
Oh, no, I don't think we're short on uniforms. I think that was just a choice. All right, consent agenda items, I mean, the normal stuff, consider approval of class size waiver. Brian, is that yours?
Yes, just, you know, K through 4, it's a required 22-1 ratio. At this time, we are over in around 4 to 5 classes. Actually, one of the ones I already had on there, we've already fixed and moved some students. But what we really need to do is, you know, after October 9th, we're going to see who's coming back, because a lot of kids have indicated to their campuses that they plan on returning to in class, and that'll help us with our remote learning picture and distributing staff that way. So it's a requirement. We're going to meet it, but hopefully we're going to be able to possibly shift some personnel to help alleviate the needs on that. But it is a requirement set up by the state.
Yeah, we do this every year. So. And a big part of what they've been working on, Dr. Barnes and Tammy and Brian with the elementary principals, is just balancing those classes, because we've had, I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing better success at the elementary, is we have dedicated remote teachers that just teach that. I think at the high school, when we've had these conversations, that's one of the struggles, is trying to do both. It's just not sustainable.
Is this the reason why that's why your ratios are so off? Or?
I wouldn't say that.
Dedicated?
No.
No, they're not off. It's just some, I'll be the first one to tell you that Timberlake has more kids than we thought they were going to have.
Really?
Mm-hmm. By our demographic study. That's where they're second grade and their fourth grade, which was surprising to me. But, you know, we did end up kind of late in the game moving the bilingual program in Timberlake, which had an impact on that. So, but it's something that we think we can address internally.
So, All right. YMCA school supply donation. I guess that's pretty much what it looks like. We're just donating supplies.
When do we have to approve donation or not approve donation?
$1,000, I
thought. Right. $1,000?
Greater than $1,000.
Greater than $1,000.
That's what policy said.
You want to up that? No. Okay. No, I'm fine with it. It seems like some funds flow right through and we don't see anything or have anything to do with them. I guess it's going through the other entities, through the, like the booster clubs and such.
Yes.
But then isn't that a donation from the booster club to the district if our students benefit from it?
I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, technically, I guess so. I mean, the donation piece.
I mean, if the booster club buys something, that's no different than,
yeah,
than the YMCA buying something, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll look into that. It's a good question.
Yeah, what if someone donates to the booster club?
Without a doubt.
Is that like,
that's a good question.
Because that happens.
I think the difference is on the donation piece, not really from the
booster club.
We don't know.
That.
Right.
When the booster
allocated
club
for
donates
specific purpose
to the district,
and it flows through the boosters,
we accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But that's a good question. Kevin and I will look into that.
Even look through the audit, the activity fund audits and such, I mean, they will say that specific scenario, it's a donation from, I have to go back and see the way she phrased that, but
I get it. We don't have to approve the donations to the booster club.
Right.
That's not us.
But when it's donated back to the school district,
that's right.
That's probably just good practice anyway, to be honest.
It's just never been done.
Yeah.
Well, we have accepted the donations from booster clubs because Tiny Blue's playground equipment now. Greenlee's playground equipment.
On the
big
stuff, but maybe not.
It hasn't been done on that $1,000 mark. It's been at the
well, and that's my point. Is it's not consistent, basically. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we never see it.
Yeah. Well, it's nice for recognition as well.
Textbook committee, pretty standard. We just have to approve textbook committee. All right, this next one, GKDA, is Detra's.
Yes. So Dr. Burke charged us to make sure that we were aligning our processes. And so flyers is one of the things that we do. If a business approaches us and it's a profit business, we allow them to leave their flyer at the front of every entrance so parents can pick them up. And our practice was nonprofits who also maybe get money from a state or local or federal money, those flyers would be a part of our website flyers. So you would have to do a nonprofit or any of those type of flyers. But it didn't really align with our GKD local. So those the part in red, and I don't know if you have this, but it just makes that clarified in the GKDA local and then the form that we require people to fill out for the flyers aligns.
Yeah.
Was there an incident that spurred that on, or it's just aligning?
Well, it's caught on that our community sees those flyers go out every Thursday night through the communications department. It goes out to an email to our parents and says, here are the events coming up this week. Well, now businesses want to promote their business onto our website, and we made a decision before that we weren't stuffing all the homework folders with outside businesses and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. they're really using taxpayer dollars to promote their business. And so we said, oh, we need to look at our form to make sure that it aligns with what our practice has been. And when we talked to Serenay, our TASB representative, she goes, yes, this is something that most districts do. She helped me with the wording to make sure that we were aligned. So So
that's great.
Because if we allow, we've been tutoring, want to come in, somebody wants to offer
music lessons.
Music lessons. And we don't mind them putting their flyer at the front and then just like that, but we are the only paper in town right now is our website.
Yeah. You have the next one, too, I think.
Oh, do
yes.
You?
Before you move on from that,
yes.
My thing is consistency. Mm-hmm. And it feels like sometimes we do one thing for one group and something. How are student pictures? I mean, that's a for-profit company.
In addition to it being a for-profit, the campuses get a part donated to their contracted services. But we don't even put that flyer on our website.
It goes home with every kid.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's promoted. It's
promoted by the school so that parents have the opportunity to purchase school pictures. It's but as far
a
as
reminder of picture day, this
yeah,
one
it's
is
not
a, at home.
It's not a flyer per se that goes out. It's just a reminder of today's picture day.
Now, the ones that we put on the website are Vacation Bible School, football league sign-ups, Easter egg hunts, NSAIDs events that they have at theirs. They have to meet those guidelines of receiving state, local, federal funds or be a nonprofit. And we've even had Val Weldon's, it wasn't a nonprofit organization, and it didn't meet any of those criteria, which, I mean, that's hard to say, I'm sorry, I can't really post this on our website, but I will forward it to one of our folks, or I will forward it to my campus secretaries, and they can just slip it into the teacher's lounge or whatever, but it doesn't meet the criteria to put on our website. So we have been doing this for our website for a while, like two years. But we didn't really have it in written form.
Yeah.
And so we were just making sure that our flyer guideline, that it's an approval process, aligned with what we were doing, and our GKDA did not say that. So.
Yeah, but what you said is true, that there's lack of consistency in some of our processes. And so that has been our focal point since we've come back, is to make sure that we're getting those things aligned. And so you'll be seeing more of these kinds of things as we get our process of streamlined.
I think it's important.
Another instance besides picture day, but I mean that didn't go on our website. So.
There's some that I have questions that I don't quite understand. How, but like
camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think that the board needs to weigh in at some time. I mean, I'm all for getting a policy to match the practice.
Mm-hmm.
But then that begs the question, what if we do want to open it to for-profit companies?
There's also a company called Peach Jar that a lot of districts have gone to. It is a company that, for instance, if you're a business and you want to reach every customer, student, you go through Peach Jar and they will charge a fee. And then the fee is pushed, per flyer. And then that is pushed out to parents through Peach Jar. They don't charge us to do it. One-time fee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one-time fee. And, we had talked about doing something like that, but we thought that some of those smaller organizations that are not school-related, it could hurt them being charged for something. I guess your youth football leagues. Are your youth softball leagues. That's not a Splendora
ISD. That gets into deep policy questions of how do you differentiate
well,
and who do you, I mean.
And this is part of the policy says that it must be a, maybe in GKDA legal, it had to be a social, recreational benefit for our students. So there's several criteria that you have to look at to be sure that it doesn't meet like, circus tickets. That's a it's an event, it's a social or recreational, but does it really meet the criteria of a nonprofit? Where is that coming from? And so that's why we send them the form. They must fill it out and just tell us what they are before we can bring it back and say, yeah, it meets these guidelines. And so, yes, it's approved, or no, it's declined. If it's declined, they still have the opportunity to put that information into the front area for parents to pick up. And the last thing that we've been telling them, we're not allowing visitors right now. It's not really going to do you a lot of good to leave your flyer in our campus areas, but Splendor Folk sometimes allow this opportunity, and you also have some local newspapers that you can advertise in.
But if there's specific things, but that's what we're doing right now is trying to clean all that up. So if there's things that you say, well, there's an inconsistency, send it to me, and that helps us kind of frame what we're thinking too.
And we have a whole folder of flyer requests. So all the flyers that come in.
I mean, I just know a lot of school districts for a long time, they're selling ads on their school bus.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about that. We actually brought it to Dr. Burke about putting school ads on school buses and also selling space on our website. And we were definitely interested in selling space on the website. And then the pandemic hit, and we felt like it might not be a great time to be asking our businesses that may be struggling anyway for ad space on our website. But that's definitely something we were interested in. The bus ads, we talked to Huffman, who had done it previously, and they said eventually the ads start looking kind of, they peel, they fade, and then it gives a bad appearance on your bus. And it really, are you wanting people to be reading something on the bus when they should be focusing on safety, which are all great points. I talked to Vinny personally about it. But the web ads, to me, is our best alternative. And depending on the placement of where that ad goes, the higher amount it is. So if somebody wants this ad, it's $1,000. If you want this ad, it's $500. If you want a little rotating one, it's $250. And what they do, this company, what they do, they call everybody that's a realtor. They say, first come, first serve, because once we get one realtor, we don't go back to another one. And then if it's a daycare, we go through all the daycares. First come, first serve. If you want this $500 bet, once we get that $500, we won't contact the other ones. So it was a very, I'm trying to think of the name of the company, but it was, we were all ready. I'd already sent them the information, said we're ready to go. And then it was like,
how often does it renew?
They said that every year you can renew, or at a certain point you can say, this is not beneficial to me, I can't. They would take it out. You wouldn't get a refund, or they may prorate it for the rest of those months.
I definitely would not prorate it. There's a paper called the Coffee News. It's older people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they kind of run it the similar way. Mm-hmm. Once they get one competitor in, so real estate, there's no more allowed.
Yeah,
so you have exclusive rights to that advertisement because you signed up first.
Yeah, Carrollton.
Competition generates cash.
Right, Carrollton.
Can you do that as a public entity?
Dragons, they've had some people that have kept that ad forever because they don't want anybody else to jump in their spot.
I would be more interested in a bid process.
Well, that's the only way. Be
that's the way. I mean, not
the. Be the only way is fair, right?
Well, and that's what they do. They come around into your market, and they say, "What is other people selling it for?" And then they approach those businesses and say, "This is what we're going to sell this ad space for." We'd already talked to them about the location of where we would say we wanted and where we would have the I call it a business card ad, where they would rotate in and out at the bottom of the page. We
could identify parameters and restrictions on who we would allow to advertise correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I'm not necessarily for or against. I just
they're going to start taking our fund balance, and maybe we should start.
Well, and I think that these are policy questions, and the board needs to be considering: is it something we want to do or not? I mean.
Well,
I brought up the school bus things, but I don't really like them. I'll be honest.
Well, we looked to see if that was a policy about like advertising, sort of like advertising on our school board. It's generating revenue without any expense from the school district. And the other thing is, we looked at the magnets. We have been doing those magnet calendars, which was like a hot item. And so we are now going to have a business because they're at the bottom, so we no longer foot that bill. And that's another area that a business would get their name out every, I think Trey Victory does the football ticket. So, I mean, we're definitely looking at other ways to generate revenue without spending things.
But like I think by
us not, us not putting anything that's a business-related item on our website in the flyer section, that would make those businesses more apt to, because that, I mean, parents have to go to the website for the flyers. It's a link in every campus newsletter. It's a link in everything that we send out through our social media.
Opportunities are out there. Mm-hmm. Do y'all advertise on, or do y'all have, do you have those opportunities on, say, a hardback ticket for, say, a football game?
Well, I believe Trey Dickery does the football tickets. I think his name is on every on the back of all the football tickets sold. So that's, yeah, that's, we have opportunities out there. And we're ready. We came back after our TSPR meeting in January, February, ready to go.
Yep.
Already made those contacts.
It's a sell your product.
Well, even like the trade thing, so is that a donation to the district, or is that
a
contractual agreement? Or?
That's through athletics, so
Well, again, it might be something that if there was a policy written on it, it would encompass the entire school district, whether it was a booster club or athletics or whoever. They'd still have to come together and meet these criteria for this policy.
But that's
to run it the fair
right.
way.
And
yeah,
I,
and what I'm saying though is
about the revenue. The revenue, I asked Kevin about how does that, where does that revenue go? Does it come to communication?
Yeah.
And he said, well, no, it would go into general fund.
Yeah.
But those things that that we probably shouldn't purchase through communication, such as t-shirts for every person, that would be an area that we could possibly either have another company purchase those, just different things that we should do, but instead the revenue would be earmarked into the general fund.
So does the policy update also cover things, all encompassing things like the, at the football field and every kind of advertisement, or it's just very specific?
Well,
for
this is just non-school use of school facilities.
Okay.
So if somebody wanted to have an Avon meeting,
okay,
at our facility, they have to fill out a facility usage form, but during that meeting, they could pass out their Avon literature.
Okay.
But if an Avon representative came to say, I want this to be put on your website, on the flyer page, I'm sorry, that is not, doesn't meet our guidelines, but you're welcome to put your Avon literature, is that what Avon still called? Anyway, out there in the campus foyer. However, we won't be using our website to promote your business. But we have these other opportunities maybe on our website.
Unless Avon said, well, I want to be a sponsor on your goal page or whatever.
Right. So once we get those, I guess our first step is to make sure that this is aligning to what we put on our website. Then our next step would be, now that this is aligned, we can start talking to businesses about doing those other things.
Okay.
Dan was like, yeah, question.
Because I know there's literature in the teacher's lounge, too, that's valuable space.
We allow them to put it in the teacher's lounge, but we do not allow our employees to stuff boxes.
Yeah. It's just
top
stuff.
It's just like on the table.
Well, it can be on the table. And the person that's bringing that literature cannot take it to the teacher's lounge. It has to be taken to that lounge by a secretary.
Yeah.
Because we set that precedent long ago because, again, you're using an employee of the government to go in and use your advertisement, spend that money when they should be working to fill boxes to promote their business. We told them, you can sit in the teacher's lounge. That's the extent of what you would do for an advertisement.
My whole thing is fairness, right? Mm-hmm. If we do it for one, I mean, how are we?
That's where you're going to have your policy group.
Yeah.
And we've been working on that. We have a meeting every year with our secretaries to remind them of these procedures that they need to go through. And it's gotten better. When somebody approaches them at any campus, they said, hey, wait, you got to go to the admin to get this approved before we can post it anywhere. Before it can even be in our foyer, you have to go to the admin. And it's been a slow process, but it's getting better.
What if you had an individual that didn't quite meet the criteria of you know, they wouldn't have a private organization, but they wanted a like a business. And I'll give you an example. I used to have a rent house, and I only rent it to cops or teachers, nobody else. Mm-hmm. And when I couldn't find a cop to put in it, I would only put a teacher in it, and I would go to local school, which back then it was Greenlee, and I'd ask somebody to put these flyers in their teacher's lounge. Now, I wasn't a company. I just had a rent house that I would rent super cheap to a teacher.
And we do
that. Would an individual who had, say, they wanted to come in and say, hey, I want to give this service to only the teachers. I have a car wash here, and these are free tokens or free car washing, whatever. But they don't quite meet your standards.
We have a folder that we have shared with all our employees. It's offered. It's called Employee Discounts and Coupons. The YMCA offered back when they were here. They would offer 10% off for every employee. We just had one that you put in today.
T-Mobile.
And anytime there's an offer like that, we put it into a folder that's immediately shared. Sometimes we send another email that says, hey, don't forget to check your employees' discounts and coupons. That's where we put this type of information. Every year it's piped out,
purged,
and then start anew. So,
it's almost like a community bulletin board at the post office.
And we've
like
had some that if they just bring a flyer in and we just put it into our work area,
yeah,
or our teacher's lounge.
Okay.
But that's exactly what the secretaries will do. They'll put it in an area where teachers will only be there. The DH, I think I was supposed to be going to DH. DH is social media guidelines, and typically regulations is more like a administrative procedure, but the DH regulation had been put into your board policy, so to update it, I would have to get regulation approved. So we've been going around to the campus facilities and our faculty meetings and talking to them about social media and what's the best way to promote their event, their news, or anything. And I think it's sometimes an eye-opening experience for them because, you know, we tell them that we have a Facebook page for every campus and for the district. We have most of our campuses still have a Twitter account. But the thing is, if you decide to open a social media page for your group, there's lots of guidelines that you have to do. You have to be sure that every student's clear to have their likeness or even their name put out there. You have to follow, or you have to respond to comments. You have to monitor comments. There's a list of probably over 1,000 words that are flagged. So if anybody uses those words, that comment is immediately hidden. Now, if you hide a comment, you have to document why you hid that comment. And if a person requests all your hidden comments, it's an open records request that you must follow to give them why those comments were hidden. Just because it's social media doesn't mean that it doesn't follow along our lines for public information requests. So those teachers were like, what? But it's easier and it's more effective. If you have something that you really want to shout out to the world, send it to us because we have over 6,500 followers, and what better audience are you going to be able to share your information with? Twitter has about 1,287. Instagram that we have is fastest growing one.
Can they just tag you so that
yes,
and then they be done with
they
it?
Just kind don't, of? Or they just don't do it.
It's the tagging that's difficult.
That's like our policy at work is if I post something that's and I want it work related,
you tag AT&T.
I'm supposed to tag AT&T
yeah,
employee.
For sure. Yeah, you have to tag.
And then that catches their monitoring, and they kind of
definitely. But a lot of times, you know, our biggest thing here is Facebook. Our community is a Facebook. I think at Georgetown was Twitter, but
Facebook was good to us. Never on it.
It's just our community is mostly Facebook.
And
so,
different demographics are different ones too.
Right. So we just had some really great posts recently that got so much. I mean, your video even the other day from
the bonfire
did really well.
Nice.
But we have a wider audience, and we've been working on getting that audience larger and larger. And when you get too many, you water it down. So we have been working with all of our campuses, and I don't know, Timberlake's, Carrie did a remarkable job of opening her Facebook account and, like, killing it. She has over 900 followers already. And then we have other campuses that have been struggling. And so we really have to pick up those to make sure that they're doing everything possible can to get their numbers up. And then, you know, just keep going at it. Keep going at it and reviewing what is an engaging post and what makes your people want to follow you. So the DH regulation kind of really just goes over all those guidelines. One of the things that we discussed is the campus social media accounts. They can't, I want to say, a few years ago, there was a Facebook, not a page, but like a Facebook group for Miss Smith's second grade class, Facebook group for this choir class, Facebook group for that. And it just made parents have to go to so many different places. Plus, you can't just have, you've got to have pages. It's got to be open. You can't accept friend requests. That's discrimination in the school district. So it has to be a page. And so we went to make sure that all of those had been cleaned up, and then you funnel your news to your campus or through the district. And the other thing that we are saying, Twitter and Instagram accounts are the only ones that people can just, they can just follow you. There's no criteria. But again, we're asking them, if you're going to do that and you're going to open that account, you're taking that responsibility on to meet all the guidelines and to also tag us on any of those posts. It's really a safety feature for the
That's on Instagram and Twitter or Facebook as well?
Anything. But I mean, if I got on my Facebook account and did something about school district, I could still tag, but Facebook is not as great as Twitter as far as tagging. The best way for me to do it is send it to Lisa or myself to put it onto Facebook. Because again, we have 6,500 followers versus me, maybe 500 or 1,000 friends. So you want to reach a broader audience, you've got to send it to campus and district.
So are you saying, I mean, I was right. So are you saying that those particular groups are not allowed to do Facebook, or they are following your parameters?
If you're creating a Facebook page, that is an open page. We recommend that you don't create a Facebook page because it's taken us, I don't know how many years to get up to 6,500. And I'm going to use Lenora ISD Athletics. So they opened their page about a year and a half ago. And part of the reason that they opened their page is they were reporting three different ways. They were reporting to Walk Up Pride, Gotta Love It, and something else. Three different areas that they were reporting to booster clubs that they really didn't have a control over. So if there was comments or anything, they weren't, I don't know if they were admins or not. But it was kind of a three-prong, so moving it all into one made it more streamlined for our district. Now, is it the best practice? I don't think so. I think the best practice is to push it through the high school and push it through the district channels, because, like right now, Lenora ISD had they won today in tennis, right? They shared it on their Facebook page. They have, let me see, they don't have 6,500 followers, but they didn't share it on, they didn't send it to high school, and they didn't send it to us.
Yeah, but, I guess I'm kind of torn. I mean, I understand having those district-wide pages if it's district-wide news, but quite frankly, I tune out if I get too many alerts from any group. That goes silent because I don't have, I mean, so sometimes smaller is actually.
Well, your algorithms now, though, it won't even come up into your Facebook page if you don't have enough people generating that engagement. It won't even show up on your page. You see what I'm saying? Unless you are following them and you're requesting that every time they post that you get an alert. Otherwise, you don't get it just to come up into your feed.
So, the open records and the Twitter is the same on the open records for Twitter and Instagram is the same as on
anytime you're Facebook. Using yes, anytime you're using any social media as a Splendora ISD platform, then you're required to
maintain those records.
I'm going to use a couple for instance. I know a lot of our groups, most every group, right, has Instagram and Twitter. Almost.
Mm-hmm. No, so like your CCN,
right. So they're already following those guidelines, right? So I just look at it as a...
We don't even know all the groups that are creating their own Twitter accounts.
The FFA page.
The issue, I think, is...
They don't tag us sometimes.
Yeah, it took a long time to get all the Facebook pages cleaned up. And so, I know the question.
All right. Yeah, I'm just kind of, I look at it as a recruiting tool, mm-hmm. right? Say your FFA, because we're heavily involved, so I'm going to use that as an example. Mm-hmm. They have students on every campus, mm-hmm. right?
How many do they have? Total FFA participants?
Oh, no, two? I don't know. We could fill up the cafeteria.
Well, that's what I was like, we talked about parameters and different things, when you decide to get another AP at a school, you got to reach a certain threshold of students. And so we talked about making those guidelines, too. If you had, if it's 750, is that when you decide that you get a Facebook page that's all by yourself?
Well, again, I look at it a little bit different. I look at it as if they're already following the Instagram, they're already following Twitter, I don't particularly see the difference in Facebook. I know y'all have a lot of followers. You have 97% participation in CTE, right? So if you were to do a large CTE page that handled everything CTE, mm-hmm. which would include your ad,
right.
They could use it as a recruiting tool for their students in other campuses and coming up, right?
For their parents, because parents are the ones on Facebook.
Their parents. Mm-hmm. And then you have, like I said, again, you have parents. They reach all the way down to the third grade. Everyone, or second grade.
And you're saying recruiting, like promoting the program.
So promoting the program.
What would be the difference between them just sending us that information and us putting it on our district page?
Sometimes I wonder if, I think if y'all's page is being the broad picture of the district, mm-hmm. whereas they can be more targeted, more specific on what they want. They can, they may have different parameters, right? A different vision than what y'all have. And so if they send a video, it may not get posted, may not, depending on length or anything like that.
Well, that's going to be your social media too. Sometimes, Dr. Berg's video on Twitter, I have to shorten it 5-10 seconds because it wouldn't even go on Twitter.
Right.
And it was 45 seconds. It was 54 total, and I got to put the whole 54 seconds on Facebook. But you could only go to 45 on Twitter. Yeah. So sometimes those parameters are limited by the social media platform you're choosing. Now, the one that you're talking about, it was a 15-minute video. 15 minutes. I didn't get through it. I didn't get through the first 2 minutes. He had already sent it to every parent by email, and the high school posted it on
And he uses us on his booster page. We do a lot of communications for him.
Right.
Because it's easier just, hey, send me a text. I'll post it.
Right. And so it was posted on the high school page. I called him and said, so do you want us to send this out on the district page or have you already sent it? He said, I've already emailed it to every parent in FFA. I said, so what additional person do you want to reach if it was about information? Correct. So I didn't know as far as, it wasn't recruiting, it was information. So it was more about telling parents what they needed to know in the upcoming season.
Right.
Yeah. And my other thing is, since the fair, we haven't received anything from them. Nothing new. So if you're going to have a social media page, you need to post at least once a day or once, more than once a month. Otherwise, your followers drop off and it doesn't show in their algorithm anymore.
Right.
So any of those CTE stories, we love posting. It's like getting a band story. Man, that's golden. When we can get band news, that's golden. When we get CTE, it's golden. When Corey Long sent me that fair information or the clean information, I immediately posted it. The senior post went out on Monday. The prints, we didn't even get that. About the prints.
That's not that funny.
Do what?
That's a school post. That has nothing to do with that.
The prints?
EMC.
The EMC fair, you got the little prints?
That's nothing to do with at the fair.
Oh.
That's just a...
Yeah.
Just a little contest. But that was like the most engaging post that we had.
In the interest of time, what would y'all like for us to...
In the interest of time, I'd like to read the policy.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's regulation.
I like where you're going, though, about... Because I think there are some... Where you take ag or band or athletics. I mean, do you put that on the junior high page? Or do you put... So I can see where some can... Could be cross-tagged or cross.
We have been making this big push. If it affects more than one campus, if it affects two campuses, that's a district function. And like there was this sixth grade band instrument drive. It needed to be pushed out from the district because it affected all of our elementary schools. And if it's an FFA that's expanding over all of them, then it would be a district function and we would hit so many more people. But if we're going to say that there's parameters, then we can do that as well.
We need to address the parameters. And
I don't know. I can see where some organizations are as big as one school.
It sounds like almost like a workshop.
I mean, yeah.
Because as we're growing, we want a policy to cover, you know, something for the future as well as we get bigger. Because I'm sure that larger districts have those
one thing y'all
things
need
in
to
place, too.
The
tweeners.
Yeah, and the, I guess, the maintenance piece of it. And making sure that the district's not put at risk if people aren't following those guidelines. And so I think that's something that has to be clearly communicated to you. So I think we bumped this to a workshop and have the longer conversation at that. Because, I mean, I think, why does athletics have a Facebook page and nobody else gets one? That's the crux of it. A lot of it, right?
Yeah, not necessarily. I appreciate that Marcus has a Facebook page. Talk about every single group. We're talking large, your bands, your CTEs.
I think that they try to have these discussions, and I mean, I think we could probably workshop some in our vernacular, some parameters, and say, look, you know, if this is it. You've got a guy in Corey that's probably going to push that stuff out, you know, for FFA, but if it's all for CTE, that's Adam. We talked about that before too. So, you know, we want our programs to be highlighted. But we also want to be able to manage that in a way that doesn't put the district at risk on some of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And when we created the communications department, it took them a year and a half to clean up all these groups and private pages and all that kind of stuff. And so, we want to make sure that whatever we do from this point forward, it is manageable and it's meeting the intent of what we're wanting to do. So, I don't think it's restricting the access; it's managing.
And everybody's gung-ho at the beginning to put that page out there and get it started, and then it goes, phew.
Yep.
Because
and then you have people that leave.
Because it's a job.
It's a full-time job, and you know we're monitoring 9.
Yeah.
9, 10 counts favoring, monitoring all 10 of those and making sure that all those comments are above board and responded to.
So. My last comment, I would just go back. So that sounds like, again, a fairness thing. It's one group is treated differently than some of the other groups. And there may be a justification there. It may be because of the size of the group.
I think when it came to be a Facebook page, it was almost not like a necessity, but it was of a different circumstance. When Chief Evans we also eliminated that.
The page, police page.
The skating, that'll be a page that is eliminated. You know, there are things that we need to look at our Twitter accounts and see if they're even effective.
Yeah, but you're really talking about, if you're talking about expanding Facebook groups, because we're about to have more campuses coming on, you're really only talking about athletics being in FFA. Those are the three
big ones. When you reach this many participants and you had somebody who would effectively manage it and post to it and monitor it, then it's worthy of discussion.
Yeah, and band may be fine arts.
It might be fine arts on BCT.
He has 750 kids that participate in athletics.
And that's what I
both
thought,
junior high and high school.
And I didn't know what, FFA
has. Of course, you're not going to have that in every program, right? Because it's a large program.
Yeah.
But I think we're having
workshops.
Yeah.
I see. I know what y'all are wondering, so I think we can bring you some. No, you're good. You're good.
What's the other presentation?
The rest of this is pretty much Kevin's, except for the very last action item. So.
I just want to say the reason it says other presentations and where it's at is because the auditors can't come until later.
Yeah, that's why.
So. And so I moved it there, so it's right before the action.
Okay.
So basically, we have obviously the presentations from the auditors coming, annual requirement. We also have an annual update on the property value study appeals process from Linebarger. They will be here. Robbie Harbutt will be here to present those findings. We do that every year as well. Dropping down into action items, again, we'll have to act on the audit with 12A. We'll bring our first budget amendment with 12B. The committed fund balance schedule, our auditors want you guys to approve that administrative procedure that I believe y'all have seen in, prior. So that will come back around to you guys to give a nod. So as I figure out how to put it in a motion form, because it is an administrative procedure, and it's normally not something that comes to you guys for approval, but if the auditor wants it, the auditor gets it. So, at least it gives you guys another opportunity to act on that. So, and Dan, that's specific is to the actual breakout, because what we did, you know, you guys voted on that $1 million and then that process to fan it out. Well, that fanning out created line items in the budget, and that's what they want to see you guys act on. So.
And that's, yeah, and that's, I guess that was about, that's going to be my question.
Yes.
Is when are we going to follow up on that part of it?
No, that's, I've developed that administrative procedure in May, and I'll have to look back, but I thought we talked about it in the workshops. But it'll be done deal.
I think the allocations is the question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the boards.
You bet.
Then that we're capturing everything that we want to capture.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and that, yeah. I mean, especially with fund balance being
6 months
in the political.
Yeah, we may have to start utilizing that process even more with the talk of TA.
We had an interesting conversation last night with the architect and a architect.
Okay.
And she mentioned that some districts, they do they budget in their M&O. They're doing a remodel every 10 years on a building. And that's budgeted. That's not, you know. Now, things may happen, and they might have to spend those funds on something else that comes up of higher importance. But they budget a 10-year remodel to every school. So
based on the life cycle.
I mean, just
the lifespan.
Based on availability funds.
Yeah.
So if you don't budget it, they sure ain't going to be.
That's what I was going to say. If we budget for it, then can it, you know, then it's kind of considered encumbered, so then they can't come and grab of it. Okay, as a general
what
fund.
They'll do is they'll just reduce our.
It is a lower. We wouldn't be able to do it exactly like that, right? Because that was a very large district.
We paid our notes out of fund balance for.
No, what I'm talking about is the whole.
They get the same per student that we get. Just about everybody across the state.
They still generate a lot more fund balance than we
do. I mean, it
would be. But I still agree on the concept.
Yeah.
But it may not be every 10 years. It might be 12 years.
Right.
Depending on the availability.
But I think the more that we can allocate and assign it, the less.
Right.
Like, so we're looking to the future of maybe more than the million initially, right?
That's all.
I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I'm just worried about if they're talking, the state's talking about taking.
I mean, that's gonna be that'll be a
fund balance away.
I just think that's something we got to keep an eye on for the legislative session, so that when you being a delegate, that's just recently surfaced as a talking point from Huber, and I think that's because he's trying to get the speaker position. So I think it's all kind of wrapped up into that. But I think the more we take control of that fund balance process, the better off we're gonna be.
Just like anything else that's relevant, he probably has some of these like that in certain places. Not everybody operates, you know. We have to scrape it up, and then do something like we were in the middle of right now. And he just needs to understand that not everybody's in that situation. Yeah. We don't have the buying capacity to throw out
right.
a $160 million high school complex. Mm-hmm. We've got to try to
pull it together over a period of time.
12D is another investment pool that we'd like to access. The difference between them and the investment pools that we're utilizing now is Texas Class pays daily, calculates and pays daily, and their pitch is that they can make us more money with our money. So we're going to run this little test pilot. We'd like to run a little test pilot with them, have an even dollar amounts in, say, Tex Pool and Texas Class, and just see how they perform. Obviously, they're going to pay as good as what we're doing right now. If they pay better, then we test that. And if it's really good, then we move everything over there to them. But that's what that resolution is about there. Any other questions?
Like when you say test pilot, do you mean like how much money?
We're thinking $5 million over to Texas Class, as well as to have equal amounts between Tex Pool and Texas Class, and then just see what revenues those both pools will generate.
Okay.
I think our best investment around here.
Yeah.
Real estate.
And this is right.
We'll have that conversation too.
I'll just say the honeymoon's over.
Yeah.
Oh, it ain't. Yeah. It ain't.
12E, Katie can help fill in on this. The board operating procedures with House Bill 3, some of the language. Go ahead, Katie.
The board policy BEB was updated on 11/19/2019, but we did not put that into the board operating procedures, and so once we do, it'll be aligned. So it's saying, at regular board meetings, the board shall permit public comment regardless of whether the topic is an item on the agenda posted with notice of the meeting. Right now, our board operating procedures say that you cannot allow it.
That was part of House Bill 3.
Oh, okay.
Giving the audience more transparency. Right. Yeah. To talk about anything.
I had one more question.
Sure.
For Kevin. Will the 3% cap, are we going to cover that in the workshop? Are we going to, I'm still trying to wrap my head around what all that means.
You and I both, and we will make sure that we make that attempt to get that figured out.
I didn't know if the auditors can shed any light on that. I don't know.
During their presentation, it won't be, but to be honest, I'm looking at maybe possibly the appraisal office and the tax assessor might be the better avenue to have that conversation, along with Joe. I mean, Joe's going to have a better take on that. It was just his delivery to us that might be a little dry.
But I think, too, that's their... All this COVID stuff, and I mean, it's going to throw some loops.
My problem with the cap is the rhetoric all along that we'd be held harmless in that.
Yeah.
That the states will make up the difference. Well, they've already come back and tapped us for $1.4 million on settle up over last year just because of, for the most part, a decrease in ADA. That was basically COVID related, and the formula for calculating that back into 18-19. So you can't trust TEA. We know that. But
yeah, I don't
know how they're gonna make up for.
I don't know how they
reduced everybody's property tax anyway. So.
Well, a new deal. Is there a 3% cap? I mean, is it the total value? I don't know. I mean, we can get into that.
Yeah. That's just. But we'll hopefully have some people that can address that at the workshop. So.
Okay. The workshop?
October 24th.
Okay, that's...
Isn't that the date? 24th? 26th?
26th.
So the rest of it will give my enrollment.
5:30.
On the possible agenda items for next meeting, so this is one thing I forgot to tell y'all. I don't think it'll be an agenda item, but I'm choosing to talk about it at this point. So I was talking with Todd Stevens at Magnolia, and they've submitted a resolution to their county commissioner for... like not allowing vape shops to be built around schools. And so I said I think our board would support that as well. So they're moving forward. That'll probably come into our precinct as well. So just kind of let y'all know that that's going to be coming at some point.
Can the county do anything?
Well, they can.
Yeah.
Are they Because I thought there was a size, and did they cross that threshold?
No, they can regulate bars and liquor stores as far as their locations. I'm assuming that TABC has ultimate jurisdiction over it.
Smoke shops, stuff like that.
Smoke shop. Even though it's a tobacco list.
Yeah, I meant to send it to y'all, just forgot. So I'll send y'all the resolution that he presented to me. So, are there any other agenda items that y'all?
I'd like to add, if there's time to add one. Or we can review under 10D just real quick. What is the policy for accepting or reviewing donations before they're, you know, before they're denied or accepted?
So policy for, what is
accepting
the policy for?
Or denying donations.
Okay.
Oh, that's a question. So, not to keep beating the same drum, but like, so when he donated the money to buy all the tickets.
True.
Yeah. Is it less than $1,000 so we didn't see
it? I doubt it was less than $1,000.
I mean, that's a steal.
No, I think we
have
to. That's
a steal of a sponsorship.
Yeah, we have to.
I mean.
Yeah, I think we have to. We have to make that consistent. Do what? Yeah.
I got one. What about the fee study that we were working on?
That's going to be addressed at the workshop.
Okay. What about...
Dr. Barnes is working on that.
What about a report from the Land Acquisition Committee?
We're having a meeting tomorrow, and we will have a report to you. Okay. Potentially by the board meeting, right? Maybe? What do you think?
I mean...
We can get an update from the committee.
Yeah.
Update. I can give you the update right now, but...
Well,
yeah,
let's,
that won't be a problem.
Yeah, maybe when more of us are here.
Yeah, I think that's
so. Is that something then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Land committee?
Yep.
And what update about a, maybe, I don't even know how to present this, but we need to know when we might be able to get back to certain normal things, such as in person conferences.
Okay.
Or a parent or a grandparent attending a lunch with a kid. Or other programs like Cats for Christ. There's people out there asking questions. I heard of a parent conference that took place on the sidewalk the other day because it needed to take place.
Yeah.
And how else can you do it if you're standing there and they're standing there? You're on the sidewalk. What is going to happen right there? So there's just some things that we need to be able to take from a meeting and go back to our constituents and say, this is the plan.
Yeah, and I had somebody ask me when we're going to open the facilities back up for rental and stuff like that. So I agree. We need
I've got a lot of skating rink questions. I think we have to figure out how to do that in a safe manner.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
We need to, anyway, I was just going to say we need to figure out how school's going to work.
Well, they can skate
first, before some of these other things happen.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's been settled yet.
I'll just tell you, so you know on the skate rink center, I've had two questions on the skate rink, and I've told them it's closed until further notice, and what that is at least through, you know, the first semester, or up until January, what have you, is kind of what we're middle
what?
Analyzing.
Yeah, and I don't even know how that works with the state guidelines,
yeah.
Right? I mean, the stuff at 75%, I mean, is that the...
It doesn't really apply to
schools.
It doesn't apply to schools.
County,
yeah, so I'll go back and look at the guidance since I already have a copy of the
TA. We need CTE to build these big 6-foot plexiglass things for kids to skate in.
A bubble to skate around in. You get them, yeah.
Well, and something, maybe a priority list, because in-parent conferences or in-person conferences, to me, would be a priority because it's related... To
yeah,
school.
Teacher conference is very important.
Yeah. For success of the kid.
That and, you know, what's going on at home versus what's going on in the classroom. Scheduling off time off work just to come up here, because if you don't get it done, you're pushing it off. And now the student is keep going down that slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Good to go. Dr. Berg, you had mentioned something, or didn't mention, that you asked me to mention.
Yes.
Items to discuss as for part of the HR workshop.
Yes, so that'll also be part of the board workshop. So if y'all have any, you don't have to say it now, but if there's things y'all want to know from that workshop,
okay.
Let us know.
Which is the same workshop on the
26th? The 26th is going to be an all-encompassing.
Okay.
It really was dedicated to HR and then the financial piece. So if y'all think of anything, Brian and I are meeting tomorrow, kind of just workshop to workshop. So Okay. Update you on investigation, like what's our policies and processes. We're looking at how we house our administrative procedures and regulations. TIA. Update on TRE, TIA, the teacher incentive allotment, that's not going away. So just some of those things. But if there's other things y'all want to know, let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have a deadline for that?
Well, the workshop's 26th,
so
just maybe that,
the week before? That.
Yeah,
the
week
before.
Yeah,
no.
That's when you'll get them.
Yeah. All right. About 8 p.m.
So we need to announce this to the rest of the board, though, right?
Yeah, I'll send it.
You will?
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
I just wanted her to remind me. So.
Anything else?
No, ma'am.
Closed session items? Did you need
no,
to?
No, that was
no?
just.
That's just on there?
Yeah,
okay.
On.
All right. All right. Anything else, anybody? No?
Wow.
Okay. For the record, let's see, anybody have their phone
649.
Out? Great, 649.
An hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
Could have been short.
Thank y'all.
Thanks.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.